listening to مركز الصحابة, the voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Once again, أهلاً وسهلاً ومرحباً بكم to this edition of Consciously Connected, coming to you live and exclusively from the airwaves of Markaz Sahaba, صوت أهل السنة والجماعة, the voice of the أهل السنة والجماعة in Durban, South Africa. Inshallah, we now get on with our next segment, Biladul Muslimin, with our brother Abu Bakr Sidat, Hafizahullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Abu Bakr.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana, to you and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Mawlana, we trust that you and the listeners are all well this beautiful Sunday morning. We are just a week or two away from the Hajj period. Inshallah, let Allah make it easy for all of us and those who judge who are there. Make dua for the people, for the Ummah, and especially for the people of Gaza to get out of the situation that they are facing starvation and being bombarded on a daily basis. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala make it easy for the people of Palestine and wherever the Muslims are being oppressed throughout the world. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Jazallahu anna Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima wa alohu. Mawlana, today we continue with our political developments in Pakistan. And we came to the end of the Bhutto era in 1977, the rise of General Zia-ul-Haq to the position of martial law administrator. The second wave of military rule in Pakistan was the longest in its history, a total of 11 years from 1977 to 1988. And this record still holds for Pakistan. The rule of Zia-ul-Haq was the longest. But Zia, as chief of army staff, had to first contend with the 1977 elections, scheduled for the 7th of March, 1977. Bhutto utilized the state machinery to ensure that he would get the mandate to be the leader of Pakistan once again. The Internal Services Intelligence, that is the ISI, and the Intelligence Bureau were also reined in to kidnap opposition candidates on nomination day, only to be released after nominations were closed. The various state agencies and bureaucrats were instructed to ensure victories for the Pakistan People's Party candidates, some of whom were unopposed due to the secret stratagems that were formulated by Rao Rashid and company, emphasizing the use of kundas, that is thugs and ruffians, to disrupt polling and take over polling stations with already negotiated acquiescence of the officials. We know what happened to the elections, and the last elections with Imran Khan. The Bhutto sycophants outdid themselves in pleasing their master. In the Punjab constituency, which had an allocation of 116 seats to the National Assembly, the officials, after doctoring the polls, announced that the Pakistan People's Party had won 108 of the 116 seats. This blatant doctoring even incensed Bhutto, as observed by the U.S. Ambassador Henry Byrold, who was with Bhutto at the time. Then the Punjabi numbers started coming in, and guys who were absolute thugs won by 99%. Then Bhutto became absolutely quiet and started drinking heavily, calling the whore, and said, "What are you people doing?" Bhutto had connived his own downfall. The massive rigging of the election results led the opposition alliance, the Pakistan National Alliance, calling a boycott of the provincial assembly elections held on the 10th March 1977. The support for the alliance was phenomenal, and subsequent efforts by Bhutto to appease the opposition were in vain. They called for new elections. Bhutto called for a referendum. The military called for stability amid the chaos. Bhutto's totalitarian rule in the shadow of the Constitution of 1973 came to an end at 2 a.m. on the 1st of July 1977 with what the new military junta dubbed as Operation Fair Play. General Ziaul Haq, as Chief Martial Law Administrator, sought to placate the politicians of the country by promising early elections, but to the dismay of all, this never came to fruition during his term. This can also be partly attributed to the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan and the strategic role that Pakistan was called upon to play in the execution of this historic event. But fate dealt otherwise for Zia. Within 2 days of taking office as the Chief Martial Law Administrator, he had to contend with charges being filed against Bhutto for the murder of Ahmad Khan Kasturi. General Arif, the Chief of Army Staff, headed the investigation and found that the FSF Director, General Masood Mahmood, had confessed that under orders from Bhutto, he had the deed carried out by his troopers. In the context of the Afghan invasion, General Zia, with the posturings of the Islamic parties, used the directive principles of state policy that were incorporated into the Constitution of 1973 as a springboard for the Islamization process in Pakistan. Zia had to also contend with stirrings of secession among certain political parties who advocated that Pakistan consisted of four nations and nationalities, with each having the right to secession if its just demands were not met. Though Zia sought legality through the Constitution of 1973, his views regarding the convention belied his commitment to adhere to it. His regard for politicians also coincided with those held by Ayub Khan. At a press conference during a trip to Tehran, he was quoted as saying, "What is a constitution? It is a booklet with 10 or 12 pages. I can tear them away and say that from tomorrow we shall live under a different system. All the politicians will follow me with their tails wagging." This frank assessment of the situation in Pakistan would lay the process for the next decade in the country's politics. In 1981, Zia promulgated the Provisional Constitutional Order, which consolidated all power in the office of the president. It provided for the legality of the orders and actions of the regime, regardless of the interpretation of the courts. The effect of the PCO, that is the Provisional Constitutional Order on the judiciary, was devastating. The amendments decreed under the Bhutto regime to the constitution were also not rescinded, thus they were still operative. In December 1984, Zia called for a referendum to legitimize his rule, and the question held an Islamic bent, and the answer to it in a majority Muslim country like Pakistan could only be an unequivocal yes. The endorsement granted Zia a 5-year term as president. The participation in the referendum had ranged between 16%, that is independent analysis, to 62%, that is the government's figures. With the results of the referendum, General Zia embarked in March 1985 to affect changes to the status of the president through the revival of the Constitution of 1973 order, where the Constitution designated the president as the head of state with minimal power. The order, as in the powers of the Egyptian president, entrenched the defining powers of appointment to the president. He could appoint and dismiss the prime minister as in the dismissal of Prime Minister Mohammad Khan Junior Joe and the provincial governors, Article 58 of the order. The powers of the President also extended to the dissolution of the national and provincial assemblies. The Prime Minister was a functionary of the President and had to convey every decision made to the President, whose discretion was supreme in regard to whether such decisions were to be placed before the Cabinet or not. General Rizia's government defined its mission as laying down the foundations of the Islamic system, and to this end, through a series of laws and presidential decrees, martial law ordinances, he embarked to implement Islamic norms that affected every sector of society. The anti-Bhutto sentiments also provided him with the mandate to vigorously pursue and transform the country's socio-economic and political structures in accordance with the Islamic principles, the Majlis-e-Shura and the Sharia courts. The war in Afghanistan drove Pakistan into an alliance with the United States of America, and the aid received from this quarter was utilized to implement changes. The aid was also used by opportunists, that is, officials, to grease their own wealth by palming off military hardware, that is, arms and ammunition, to black marketers and smugglers at exorbitant prices. With the 8th Amendment of the Constitution, Zia achieved a unique distinction in world constitutional history. While legitimizing all decisions taken since 1977, it enshrined Zia's name indelibly in the Constitution of Pakistan. The most controversial to the West were the Hudud Ordinances, that is, Islamic penal law, with specified punishments as revealed in the Quran. Other Islamic norms enacted included the collection of taxes in the form of zakat and usher, that is, tax on produce of the land, the revamping of the financial institutions with special emphasis on the elimination of riba, and the overhauling of the educational system. In 1988, he issued a Sharia ordinance that incorporated the judiciary in the implementation and interpretation of Islamic laws. The Federal Council, that is the Majlis-e-Shura, replaced the National Assembly with its members appointed by the President to reflect the composition of society. Though Zia had implemented his Islamization program, he retained two caveats for himself. That Zia and not the ulama was the final interpreter of the Islam. The authority of the Sharia courts was also limited, and according to Behrens, the form of Islam he advocated was a negative one of restrictions. The changes wrought to the constitution led the opposition to form the Movement for the Restoration of Democracy, the MRD. The Zia regime of Zia was all the regime of Zia was also alleged to have been involved in nepotism and turning a blind eye to the corruption and theft of public property indulged in by the officials. The road to a civilian administration was paved by the destiny of Pakistan and the MRD. On the 17th of August 1988, PAC-1, a C-130 aircraft, fell out of the sky and crashed in Bahawal, killing all on board. General Jalal-ul-Haq was one of the passengers. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Upon the death of General Jalal-ul-Haq, Acting President Ghulam Ishaq Khan declared a state of emergency and promised a democratic election to be held on 16th of November 1988. the camouflage of the political parties in preparations for the first elections after 11 years was in high gear at Bilawal House, the Pakistan People Party's headquarters. The party apparatus was being geared to the requirements of an electoral exercise where big money and personal influence would be big determinants. The Pakistan People's Party's elections performance did not return an absolute majority, but the coalition gave Benazir the prime ministership, the first lady to hold the position in a Muslim country. The vacillation of power during the decade of the 90s centered around the triarch of Benazir Bhutto, Nawaz Sharif, and the president. As Premier, Benazir Bhutto had to concede the defense and financial portfolios to the military elite and return G.I. Khan as the president. The president in league with the ISI's General Hamid Ghul was instrumental in establishing the Islamic Jamhuri Ittehad, the Islamic Democratic Alliance, under the leadership of Nawaz Sharif, to challenge the Pakistan People's Party. The premiership of Benazir, the name means without comparison, came to an abrupt end on 6th August 1990 with the dismissal of the National Assembly and the Prime Minister. The independence of the judiciary was tested during the dismissal of the Provincial Assembly in the Northwest Frontier Province, where the Provincial High Court declared the President's action as unconstitutional and illegal. One of the judges was dismissed from his position for not endorsing the majority decision. The IDA came to power in 1993 and was to experience the same fate that befell Benazir. But this time, the independence of the judiciary was asserted in that the Prime Minister was reinstated with the ruling that the President must abide by the advice of the Prime Minister and his cabinet. During the last decade of the millennium, Benazir Bhutto and Nawaz Sharif had two stints each at being Prime Minister. Both of them had sought to advance their personal powers while displaying undisguised hostility towards each other and the state institutions. That is the presidency, the judiciary, the military, and the media. The pursuit of power in the context of politics in Pakistan had always been tenuous, and the incumbents recognized this. The result of this recognition was that the office of the premier imbibed itself in unbridled corruption on a scale not experienced in Pakistan before. During the filing of a motion for a vote of no confidence against the Pakistan People's Party in 1989, it had been noted that there had been so much horse trading and purchasing of party loyalties, millions of rupees were reported changing hands in the maneuver. And when government overtures sought to win back the defecting members, the more vulnerable were placed in what were described as safe houses, and police escorts were arranged to ferry members of the National Assembly between the place of refuge and the assembly in Islamabad. Both sought during their term of office, or whatever duration the party was permitted to stay in office, to harness as much as possible from the state coffers and private institutions. Bhutto and her husband, Asif Zardari, amassed spectacular wealth through commissions and loans taken by nominees, which were never repaid, while Nawaz Sharif also used his power to borrow and issue SROs, government regulatory orders, in favor of his family businesses. Benazir's flight to exile in England, when threatened with arrest for corruption, was followed by Nawaz Sharif's overthrow in 2000 in a coup carried out by the military in the person of Pervez Musharraf, Pakistan sought another solution to the crisis it found itself in, and this coup would push Pakistan into the forefront of the world arena and the war on terrorism and seriously threaten its sovereignty. Now we have come to the end of our program. Inshallah, next week we'll continue with the rise to power of Nawaz Sharif and between his take and development helping the United States of America. And we know that during his reign, Sister Afia Siddiqui was handed over to the Americans and he participated in the arrest of many Mujahid who were incarcerated at Guantanamo Bay. To you and the listeners, we trust that you'll have a wonderful week coming forward. May dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And once again, jazakumullah khairal jaza fid darain for the valuable information that you impart to us every Sunday morning. May Allah Azza wa Jalla shower His choices, blessings upon you in both this world and in the Akhirah.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jamaah.